Yo, I'm giving you a full exclusive on this.
Fire.
You're live now.
You want to throw the headphones on?
We're live now?
Yeah, I'm gonna text.
I wasn't ready for that. One second. Going live now with Adam 22 to introduce. July 15th. What's the website?
It's youtube.com/nojumper, or I'm going to text you the actual link right now.
Yeah, give me that.
Okay, I'm going to text it to you right.
So we're live right now?
Yep.
How'd y'all do that?
Just the tap of a button.
You don't got comments?
We do. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. People are hating on me.
Sent you the link. Nah, it's good. They're going to learn a lot.
They are, and that's what's so beautiful about today. You sent me one?
Yeah, I'm live with Fousey. Link, boom, tweet. Can you just put it on my Snapchat and my fucking Instagram story and shit?
All right, yeah, let me put on my story right now, and then we're good to go.
Cool. Gang, gang.
All right, y'all, about to introduce officially July 15th to the world with Adam 22 live. If you want to watch it, swipe up. People are going to be mad at my last tweet, man. Because I got hype. I'm not going to lie. All this energy. And I tweeted that.
You could jump over Kanye.
And that's the thing. That's the thing, right?
Hold on, just throw the headphones on if you can. And it'll help you to like keep up in the mic.
Yeah. This is right here.
I do it like this. So they're sort of hanging. Right. Yeah, sorry.
Yo, that's the thing, right? The reason people
hate. Hold on. I just got to do this. No Jumper. Coolest podcast in the world.
Hell yeah.
Now, we're here with Fousey. How you doing, bro? Okay. We're talking about
energy.
July 15th.
July 15th. Y'all sit tight. People hate like Uneasy and stuff because of how much he bigs himself up, right? Mm. But what's wrong with that? What if we all did that as people and stopped recognizing it as being egotistical or being into yourself and saying, I understand how powerful I am as a person, you know?
Don't you think that's what offends people so much about Kanye is that he's willing to say that he's capable of things that to people in the way that they view things, they just think that it seems completely impossible. Like when he said, I can make clothes, I can design all this stuff. Like nobody 5-6 years ago ever would have thought that he could have done anything close to what he's done with Yeezy.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
People hate when you set your sights so high that they can't imagine you hitting those
but
heights.
But that's the thing. What if all of us as people did that instead of one person? What if all of us believed in ourselves with that same tenacity? Imagine how much bigger the ideas would get. All of a sudden, it won't just be Elon Musk at the top. Everybody's thinking bigger. Like you said, Kanye West and the Yeezys. This July 15th, you know, you've been involved in less than 5 days.
Mm.
Literally just pulled off like the next Coachella in less than 5 days.
Because I'm going to be honest, when you came here yesterday and you started talking about the plan, I fell into the enthusiasm and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. This is going to be great. This is going to be a really good time. Let's do it. And then people started to kind of ask for more information. You know, I had to be honest. I was like, well, you know, it's 5 days away and he said he doesn't have a venue. That doesn't seem really that good. But apparently you do have a venue now.
Bro.
And artists and all
Bro.
Kinds of. Okay.
Bro. Adam. Bruh, like...
Bruh, bruh.
That's what I used to call my audience.
That is what I am right now, is a bruh, bruh. Yeah, as soon as I met you, I became a bruh, bruh. It was pretty cool.
That's it.
I didn't realize.
That's that energy. That's
I saw a commenter say it, and I was like, I am a bruh, bruh now.
Can I reference how... You know how you just said, when I came and shared with you the energy, you came on board?
Yeah.
So when I first got this idea, I was on tour in Australia. Mm-hmm. The tour with Adam Saleh, we're like two big names in what we do, right? But we did a 375 venue show in Australia. And I sat there and I was like, something's not right. Because in 2012, before I even hit it on YouTube, I did a sold out show for 3,000 people.
In Australia?
In Australia.
Wow.
And then I reflected. I said, how was that done? And I said, we didn't sell tickets online. We had people on the street going to people saying, do you know this guy? Oh, that's Fousey. My kids love him. Would you like to come to the show? Sold. So my brain started thinking and I was like, you know what? I got to prove to myself that I can do this. Right then and there, we're sitting at a hookah lounge. I said, excuse me, guys, I have to stand up. I stood up, I went, I grabbed my vlog camera, and I announced to the world, I'm going to fly to Los Angeles after this trip and get 3,000 people to come to the show. And I'm going to sell tickets by hand.
Mm-hmm.
That idea right there that was birthed turned into now 5,800 people, the Greek Theater, full security, full EMT staff, full water refreshments, ticketed, licensed by Live Nation and Ticketmaster, the same team that just got off Justin Timberlake's tour, and you got hip-hop artists flying in from New York, coming from the Bay, coming straight out of LA to perform that night.
You threw out a few big names to me. Who can you confirm is going to be performing?
You know what I'm thinking of doing? The confirmations are so big. And I'm like, why would I bullshit now? And I'm going to have everybody come to the event and be like, you brought us. Oh, I almost said a name.
Like, what if someone doesn't come? You'd rather have them be surprised?
I almost said a name. I was about to hate on somebody. I was about to say a rapper's name who I think, like, sucks. And it would have been bad. But you know what I mean? I'm not inviting people to their local talent show. I'm inviting them to a Coachella caliber experience. Summer Jam experience. Like, dead fucking ass. And, like, yesterday, I'm literally on FaceTime with some of the biggest artists in the game. And the craziest thing about it is, as I'm talking to them, you know how I'm giving you attention right now? They were listening. And they were like, you ain't gotta say no more. It's about the love, it's about the energy. You don't have to say no more. I don't want a name drop, right? I could tell you off camera, the names are big names. I'm talking about, you like, think of New York, think of the top. You'll know who it is, right? Think of, you know, whatever way. And this was all done. Not by me, because once I willed what I wanted to do to the world and I had that belief and power that I could do it, life gave me things and people and resources so we can all work together to make it done. All of a sudden, it went from Fousey throwing a show to now energy from this creator, this creator, this creator, this creator. The energy for the show was so strong that even you, who had distaste and dislike in me, we're like, let me check what he's on about. And DM, like, yeah. Responded to the DM.
I mean, your energy when you hit me up was so positive, so overwhelming that I was like, you know what? It made the previous video that I had made about you and everything, it made it seem kind of, you know, silly in comparison. Like, why am I even stressing out or, like, even thinking about that? It's the sort of, like, fake beef that we had at a certain point.
It's,
you know?
So stupid.
Yeah. I remember you hit me up maybe, like, almost a year ago, and my friend had just got shot in the head, so I wasn't really in the mood to respond at that time. I kind of wish that I had at that time,
rest
too.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace. That's for real. Rest in peace, Gabe. But, yeah, that was rough. But, okay, so, like, what was it about this that made you really want to sort of reconnect with people that you felt had sort of helped to have a negative impact on your career, namely Keemstar? The bearded gnome.
When you hated me, right? When Keemstar, you know, butchered my career and life, the reason it was so hard for me to take is because they were butchering me as an online persona, as a guy named Fousey Tube. Fousey Tube didn't represent anything that Yusuf Erekat did. I'm an Arab boy who got raised by his mother. I got good values, good things. But when I was chasing the numbers, chasing the fame, I did some shit that, like, literally sold my dignity for views and money. That's dead ass. That's YouTube. You start putting on an act. You start becoming a slave to the numbers. You start doing shit that you wouldn't do in your normal life.
Right.
Even good shit.
I mean, any vlogger, when they start.
You got people tipping and giving acts of kindness and gratitude, and you will never know. It's on them to decide where their intention lies with that. Did they do it for the views, or did they do it because they actually wanted to give that tip?
Right. I feel like all YouTubers just end up sort of doing this. They start to highlight the negative things in their life. They start to really take little things, little arguments, little breakups, and they just show it to the world,
bro,
you know?
I was in this game, right? The YouTube game. You see how big I'm thinking now? I'm out of that. But let me ask you this. And I used to do this. If something traumatic just happened in your life, whether it be a breakup, a death in the family or something, why over dramatize it in the video to relay that message to your audience? What are you trying to, why put an instrumental behind talking about the passing? I did that, and I understand I made a tribute for my dog. I understand it in that one, but it's the videos you watch where you know you're watching this, you're like, oh, come on.
RIP Dollar or Muffin, which one died? Dollar? Yeah.
Bruh.
Rest in peace.
Yo, no, no, honestly.
That means a lot.
That
you still got the tattoo, right?
That meant so fucking
there
much.
There you go.
Like, I don't even care. Like, we were already closed. That meant a lot. Thank you.
R.I.P. Dollar.
He, literally, the week after July 15th is going to be a year of his passing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So that's deep.
That sucks.
I fuck with that heavy.
I watch you play with that dog a lot on YouTube.
Yeah.
Throw on a little,
yeah,
little garb.
I'm cold, right? Yeah, what else?
Okay, let's talk about this, though. I want to sort of dissect where you were at. When you think about the fake rice gum fight that you did,
yeah.
Would you say that was sort of like a symbolic? Because that was pretty close to the end of you sort of riding this high wave on YouTube, right?
That's when I decided, like, I can't do this anymore.
Really?
That's what when happened? I walked away from everything.
Like, what promoted you to do that? Because if you didn't see my video where I criticized you, but part of what I was criticizing was the fact that you did that fake fight with Rice Gum, basically because you wanted to make the point that, look, Keemstar and Scarce will report on this. And then they did report on it, but they also said that they thought it was a fake fight. And then you sort of, like, were gloating with that and being like, look, you reported on it, which I thought that was pretty disauthentic because I was like, they didn't say that it was real. Like, you... They knew it was fake. And then I thought that you were still trying to convince your audience that you had sort of fooled the online YouTube media. That's what I took issue with at that time.
I respect that 100%, and I wouldn't deny that. That time, you know what's funny? I've never talked about this.
Really? Okay.
Not on any podcast, not on any YouTube video, not even on my shit. I never talked about this story. I've always wanted to, so it's funny you brought it up.
Cool story.
When I first, me and Rice Gum were just collabing at the time. Mm. We were doing a funny video. And then literally through conversation, you know, when you got two creatives together talking, I pitched the idea. I was like, bruh, what if we do a punch, right? And then we post it on Twitter, get everybody to believe it. And the next day, we'd be like, ha, gotcha. It started off, it was supposed to be just a prank.
Mm.
But with YouTube and me, like, and you got to remember at that time, the Scarce, the Keemstars, I was the Jake Paul of that time in terms of that's what they're gonna target.
Mm.
So I'm getting shot at every day. So I had so much resentment and anger inside me that when they did report it, it was my ego taking control.
Mm.
I was just like, I have my chance. Next thing you know, and the worst part about my life back in LA, I would isolate myself in my apartment, and now I stick around friends that I love and all that stuff, right? Mm. I stick around energy. But I was by myself in my apartment having a nervous breakdown, knowing that Philip DeFranco's coming at my neck, Keemstar's coming at my neck, Scarce is coming at my neck. Anytime I open up Twitter, it's telling me, you know, I go through depression, I go through bipolar, and it's telling me, you know, the worst shit I've ever gone through in my life. Like, I have YouTube friends who trip over somebody criticizing their clothes, and they take offense to it.
Mm.
And in my head, I'm like, damn, if you went through that year of mine, or, you know, what happened by it. So where I went wrong, very wrong, is after it all happened, I posted the video, I could have walked away, and everyone would have forgot about it.
Mm.
The next day after that, I post a response video, like, I think it was an hour something long, and I was like, my pranks are fake, because... I had always wanted to. I hated doing pranks.
Mm.
It was the worst fucking time, and it was too easy.
You got into doing pranks before doing pranks was doing pranks the way it is now,
but
right?
But it became such a thing.
Such an addiction, right? Because you're making stupid money from it too, right?
Bruh, so I used to make comedy skits. Mm. I went to theater arts. I'm a San Jose State graduate as a theater arts major. I love theater. I love acting. I get to L.A. I post my first comedy skit. Bailed, right? And I was like, fuck, I felt the pressure. I gotta pay rent. I'm fresh in LA. I'm living with my boy who now we squashed the beef and he's a part of this, Kai Somar. He's living in my closet, hustling, dead ass. And I'm complaining one day about people faking pranks on the internet. And they're getting millions of views.
Mm.
And we knew they were fake because I knew the people. He looks at me that day and he goes, bruh. Remember what you told me your favorite J. Cole line is? I go, what? He goes, you got to play the game to change the game.
Mm.
So I made a fake prank in like 30 minutes. That shit went viral. I was hurt. I said, I spent all that time in that comedy skit and y'all fucking butchered it. I went outside and I filmed a 30-minute thing and you got me millions of views telling me it's the funniest shit. So I got lazy and complacent and it became easy.
Mm.
You know, I know Jake Paul had that line like, 5 million YouTube in 6 months, never done before. A lot of people didn't recognize. I went from like 1 million or 2 million subscribers to 8 million subscribers in a span of a couple of months.
Wow.
It was just a silent blow up. Because That's it crazy. Used to be Roman, Vitaly, and then that Sam Pepper at the time. And then all of a sudden, Fousey, a young bull out of nowhere, is dropping viral prank after viral prank after viral prank. The reason I took advantage of the prank game was because me as an artist who likes theater and shit, it became easy to direct.
Mm.
I know what people like. I know what people want to see. I take, like, I say that just like you'd be like, I know that sound people like. I know this. I know that. You have a gift. You have a knack for it. That was my knack. Mm. And it became easy and fun. So me coming out and saying all my pranks were fake was literally a personal ego thing of mine that I had to shed, but I did it in the worst way possible because I was on the wave of self-destruction.
I felt like your audience didn't really give a fuck that your pranks were fake, right?
My hardcore? Fuck no, they knew it. They were like, we've been known, but it's made us laugh. It's made us cry. We've had fun with it. Every prank, I'm not going to say every prank on YouTube is fake, because then you're going to have those one or two, three channels who do come out and say, fuck you, Fousey. We, you know, like Nelk, the Nelk boys, right? Their shit's all real.
Okay.
They're savage with it, you know? They send it. So I'm not going to say all. No. Jesse Wellens, there's a lot of people who, like, I'm not dissing, but I'm saying the whole genre. Mm-hmm. Even now with relationships on YouTube, it's the funniest shit. You think the boyfriend and girlfriend are still pranking each other for that fucking long and together?
The funny part is just that everything on YouTube is a prank because you're clicking on it, so they're pranking you into watching it.
Bro, not even that. If you dissect, and I love how this became about July 15th into something much more. How the fuck did that happen?
This is no jumper. We talk about everything, yeah.
But if you dissect, right, and it's so funny, people always, like, held on to, because they got fed into it by all the channels, like, oh, Fousey, you fake pranks? You know, fuck you. Not understanding that some of their favorite YouTubers, vloggers, or whatever are faking their whole life, their whole career. They just don't know it. Mm. Every single thing of the vlogs. I've seen it. I'm in the industry. I've seen the happiest of smiles when the camera goes down to the saddest of frowns in an instant. I've seen, I'm gonna say this to you, you're gonna say this to me. I've seen, like, you know, I've seen small things happen and then being like, let's over-dramatize this and turn it into the biggest thing. Mm. YouTube became a thing about attention and clickbait and this and this and who's hot and clout and this and this. And it's a weird place.
A lot of people sort of identify you as being almost like the ultimate example of that in a way, because you were so early on the wave. You know, dudes like you and Roman and shit, when that stuff just started to be, you know, you guys figured out clickbait way before a lot of other people. Nowadays, it's normal. You see a YouTuber and they got a title that says, "We broke up." And they got the sad faces in the thumbnail.
Bro, I laugh every day I open my subscription feed. I don't, because I just scroll. I don't click. I don't like to click anymore.
Because you've done all the thumbnails and all the titles.
So when I scroll now, I laugh. I like, if it says, like, I did this, I'm like, no, you didn't. Mm. If it says, she cried, I'm like, no, she didn't. If it says, no. Every single one. It's crazy now.
Yeah.
And I'm not, this isn't shitting on a culture or shitting on people, because I'm not holier than thou. I'm in this game. I did this shit for a living. But what I'm saying is, we don't gotta be stuck in that, you know? And it's on the audience too, because the one thing I always laughed about when my vlog audience would be like, stop, this is Dose of Fousey Day, stop clickbaiting. If I don't clickbait, you're not clicking. Mm. So why are you only clicking on clickbait? Click on my regular ass thumbnails. I'll be happy posting a thumbnail smiling saying this day was fun and you watching that shit. But unfortunately, I've tested it for years. That's not how it operates. Mm. It does for some people, of course. You got your big dogs who can post a period and that shit's going to get views these days.
Let me ask you this. Did the demonetization of YouTube play into sort of the way that this whole timeline has unfolded for you? Because for a while, you were making an outrageous amount of money, right? Yeah. And then YouTube sort of decided to completely fuck your channels over, which I never understood. And I was actually also pissed off when I saw that they demonetized your mom. I was like, how the fuck are you going to demonetize a fucking 80-year-old Muslim lady? That doesn't make any sense to me.
All right, wait. You need
80? Sorry.
You need. I know you do that.
I don't know.
My mom is much younger than me. She's like 30 years old.
30?
You need to chill.
Somehow I doubt she's 30, but I'll give her a 38.
Thanks, bro. Mama, you're beautiful.
But it pissed me off. Like, what the fuck has she ever put on YouTube that was offensive enough they needed to demonetize her?
It's not them, bro. It's literally a machine that just tags shit.
Yeah.
Deadass. It's not them.
But being that you're one of the biggest YouTube creators on the planet, don't you think that they should probably, like, take a second look?
You would think that, bruh, but it got to a point where I literally spoke to them at the point of, like, and I told them to their, like, it was on my road to self-destruction, but I've had conversations with the top people at it and saying, like, I don't feel valued and you're gonna lose me, where I felt disposable. They didn't care. They got too many people at the top. They got too many people running the thing for them, running the agenda, running the trending pages, running the who's going to bring us the brand money, who's next on YouTube Red Originals, who's next on this. You know, they got their few. They don't need Fousey. Nah, Fousey's a bad look. I got a bad name in the YouTube community. You know what's funny? Mm. before. Like, I wanted to reach out to YouTube to live stream this event. It's going to be the next Coachella. And we haven't even talked about why the event's going to be so big. We're not even talking about that, right?
We'll get to that in a moment, yeah.
So when I first, when the person who was helping me, they don't want to fuck with me. Once they found out Justin Timberlake's crew's involved, all of a sudden it's like, oh. And you know what? Now that I got off my medications, because whenever I was hard to work with, whether it be on a movie set or YouTube or anything, or when I was going through a mental breakdown against Keemstar, I was on heavy medications.
Really?
For my depression and bipolar. Heavy.
Really?
I got off of it just recently, and look at the idea, the first idea that came to my mind after I got off medications.
You're totally off all meds right now?
So fuck Lexapro and fuck lithium.
I was going to ask what you're on. Lexapro, that's some strong stuff.
Just
right
like
there,
Ye
huh?
said. Mm. Now, like when I was on Lexapro, I wouldn't be staring at you in the eyes right now. Mm. I wouldn't even be in this room. I'd be sitting here, but I wouldn't be here. I would be thinking about other shit, fears, anxiety, this.
Yeah, you
now
had
I'm
a lot.
Present. I'm in control of my life. I got this energy, and everybody I've been talking to feels it.
Right. Were you like on prescription drugs for like your whole YouTube career?
My whole career.
Really?
And there were times, and was so crazy, when I got off medicine this time, because it literally wipes your memory, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got off of it this time, what had happened? I got off of it this time, and I was crying in the video, and somebody tweeted me, and they were like, bro, you got off of it before. I didn't even remember. They sent me the YouTube link. I was crying on Dose of Fousey, talking about getting off of medicine. Medication ruined my life.
Wow.
It had control over me. It was my demons, bruh.
That's scary shit.
It literally had me in my mom's basement for the last year, smoking weed every night, playing Fortnite, feeling like a fucking loser, telling everybody I'm gonna get back on top, but knowing I'm not because I'm not doing anything about it. You got my mom asking me why I'm not uploading. You got the YouTube network that signed me last year wondering, damn, we really thought FousseyTube was gonna be a good asset to our team. I woke up every day feeling like a fucking failure, like I was letting everybody down.
So when you moved back to Jersey, was that you sort of like retreating into yourself and just like accepting that maybe you weren't going to make it in LA or whatever?
No. It started off as, this is a good decision. I'm happy. And then I just became a recluse.
Mm.
And then because I was removing my hair, head tattoo, it looked really bad. So I lost my self-confidence. Mm. So it just became a dark period.
So you still have the hair tattoo right now?
I just got it redone and it looks so good.
Yeah,
thank
it does
you,
look
Zang
a lot better.
SMP. Zang, I apologize. I didn't put you in the description of my video. You saved my life. You saved my confidence. This hairline literally gave me so much confidence. So Zang SMP, the best tattoo artist for SMP in the world. Sorry for that on No Jumper.
No, it's great. But as long as we're doing that, I want to say nojumper.com. Buy this t-shirt. Yeah. Anyway, so when you got the original hair tattoo, was that just a bad spur of the moment decision? Or
no,
was that a symbolic of self-hatred at the time?
No, it was the best thing of my life. It was this one by Zang.
Yeah.
And then, wait, can I say one thing before we get to that story?
Oh, yeah.
So the whole staying in my mom's basement, whatever, all of a sudden, I get off the medications.
Mm-hmm.
I write in my, before we get to that, I'm playing basketball in the gym, listening to my favorite audiobooks, and I'm listening. I walk out of the steam room, I text my mentor. This ain't a name drop, this is showing love. My mentor is Tyler Perry. He's at the, like, he's my best friend. Like, he's there. He wants to see me succeed. I texted him. I said, yo, Tyler, I'm going to get back on believing in, you know, whatever I want to believe in, my faith, my God, the law of attraction, all that stuff. And I'm going to will $1 million into my life in the next 3 months.
And when I do, 3 million, bitch.
I said, when I do, I'm going to take you on a vacation. He goes, I'm not cheap. You're going to need 3 million. He didn't do that to say I'm not cheap. He did that to make me dream bigger.
Mm.
So I changed on my notepad, $3 million. Still had no idea how. All of a sudden, my book idea came. With my book idea, bigger ideas started to come. Bigger ideas. Next thing you know, I can pull out my phone right now, and people are going to get mad at this and say, oh, you think it's all about the money, and I'm going to explain this on stage when I deliver the most insane motivational speech the world has ever seen. Not just the country, the world. We're changing the world on Sunday. But I changed my notepad, and I put $100 million made by January 1st, 2019. Next thing you know, a small pebble of an idea came into my head in Sydney, Australia. Next thing you know, Ticketmaster and Live Nation takes my event, and they said they can rent you the venue. My accountant's telling me, don't invest your own money in this. Are you crazy? Just give it more time. I said, I don't care if I lose every single dollar. I believe in this. Invested all my money, got the venue. All of a sudden, I'm on FaceTime with different hip hop artists, inviting them. I'm with Adam 22 on a podcast. I got people showing love, people buying a I should be wearing the shirt. People throw me a shirt, people buying shirts that say July 15th before the event even got announced. Till this second, we haven't even told them how to get tickets, and tickets are gone.
That's a good point. They're gone?
Look,
you sold a lot as soon as you put them online.
You know when Yeezys, like, people have them in their basket, and if they don't check out, it goes back into the thing. So that's going to be happening a lot right now. So people got to keep trying. But literally, like, 10 minutes after they were gone. And this moment was a monumental shift in how mainstream media operates. I promise you, bring me back on July 17th, okay?
We could do that.
Bring me back on July 17th and ask me, how did the brands react? How did the agencies react? How was, I saw your article on BuzzFeed. I saw your article on front page of Reddit. I saw you trending number one on YouTube. Watch this movement. It literally, and you can say, oh, this guy's off his meds into himself. Or you can say, holy shit, let's change the world, July 15th. Y'all don't even know what the event is yet. Y'all don't even know the surprises in store. This is a moment. Oh, holy shit. I forgot.
What?
Can I get another water? Can somebody throw me water?
Love water. God,
can I
love
post this on my YouTube, by the way, and link to you? And
Yeah, of course. Whatever you want.
This is a fire discussion. I love having discussions now. I'm supposed to be getting this fixed because somebody messed it up. But
the tattoo?
Yeah.
Yeah, why do you have it all covered up and tons of tape on it?
Because I have to go back in like 10 minutes.
Oh, really? What'd you get?
I know I got a lion a couple of weeks ago. The guy butchered it. It was the worst thing ever. It looks like when you get a pen and draw on your hand.
Really?
So JP on Generation 8, who did this one, is fixing it right now. And it's literally fire already.
Hell yeah.
Yo,
we got to get you a face tattoo.
No. You got to... Oh. Do you not remember what you heard like yesterday?
What?
Outside.
Oh, no.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
I heard.
Say it,
I heard you. Yeah.
Imagine.
As part
after
of
that.
That
the, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about
it. I mean, there's
it's,
a lot
it's,
of
it's
cool...
Game over, bro.
You got to get like an Arab characters on your face, bro. That would be fucking pretty gangster. Nobody got that in the
Nobody
rap scene,
that.
You know?
You ain't got an Arab rapper. Well, you got French Montana. You got Belly, shout out. Actually, you know what's funny? Drake's crew and The Weeknd's crew are full of Arabs.
Yeah.
Arabs run the shit behind the scenes. Arabs got the money behind the scenes. Arabs got the idea. Literally, look at Drake's crew. Dissect it. Look at Weeknd's crew. Look at Abel's crew. They got Arabs around them. And it's a wave. That's why. Oh, shit. I gotta make another
declaration.
Can I just
say this, too? Remember that song? In Arab money.
Yeah.
That seems pretty offensive in retrospect.
I did not like that song at all. I love Busta Rhymes.
I heard it the other day. I'm like, man, this song
sounds fucked up. I love
Busta
Rhymes, but every time I heard it, and I know he's like, he's brothers with Khalid, but when I hear it, I'm just like, oh, shit.
It was a different time period. You know, it was a lot less sensitive towards race like 10, 15 years ago, you know?
I want to, you know how I've been willing stuff? I want to will something right here, live right now. Because the energy of the people who are watching, the energy of the people when I post it, that's going to manifest this. It's the strength in numbers. It's the collaboration. It's not no more, I'm going to do this on myself. I'm going to get to the top. Ha, ha, ha. I'm not going to teach you guys the secret. When my book comes out, it's teaching everybody the secret. How to manifest everything I'm doing for my life for yours so you can accomplish your thing. You got too many people at the top not teaching the people at the bottom how they got there. That's what I'm doing. But I want to manifest something right now.
Let's do it.
I've got a lot of artists to come, a lot. And that literally, I got them to come before we had the venue, okay? Now that the flyer's out, this is going to become the biggest thing. You're reporting on it. I want to do an interview with Keemstar. Academics, me and him were in contact. I want him to do it. I want to put something out there. This is an event in LA called Hate Dies, Love Arrives, a World Cup after party celebration of love and life. Everybody's being told to come in their favorite team's jersey and bring their country's flags and turn up for free. They're getting a free, basically Royal Rumble Coachella experience because like it's just gonna be 10, 9, 8, a different artist comes out, a different artist comes out, and it's just gonna get bigger and bigger. I've worked on a lot.
Is this supposed to be more of like a club party thing, or is this more of just a anyone could come? Is it all ages? Is it 18 plus? Is it?
Legality terms, it's 18 plus on the site, but it's like, you, I can't talk. You know what I mean? They're gonna, it's like when you go on porn when you were younger and it says, do you acknowledge that you're older? And then you just be like, yes, but you're really 12 years old.
I'm glad that you just admitted that you did that when you were a kid, because I did that a lot too. Many years of just saying that I was over 18. Yeah,
and
was
it was
lying.
So easy. I was like, why did they not make this harder? It's like this, it's as if they want you to find it at a young age, to be honest.
I thought one time I tried to go on a porn site when I was like, you know, I was, this might have been as an adult, and it said, like, are you 18? And by accident, I clicked no. It sent me to Google.com. And I was like, well, that's supposed to be better? Like, if I search porn on there, I'm just going to find porn again. Like, damn. You know?
You know, I gave up porn.
Really?
I did.
Damn, wish I could say
no fat. What was I saying? I was
gonna. You don't jerk off at all? That's where all this energy is coming from. Now I totally understand.
No. Well, I recently got a girlfriend. That helps.
Really?
But, yeah.
See, my girlfriend has caused me to fuck a lot more porn stars. I'm going to be honest. She's a freak. We could talk more about this later. But, yeah.
All right. Let's will something right now. Me and you right here.
Let's do it. Gangbanger girl.
Bruh.
Okay. No, we're not going to do that. Do you fuck with Mia Khalifa? You fuck with Mia Khalifa? Is she a good representative of the culture? Or is she no good?
Okay, she's not a good representative. She doesn't want to be a representative of the culture.
She doesn't care, yeah.
But I've tried to DM her.
Me too. She followed me back
for
a little bit.
She looks like me. Mm. I look like the girl version of Mia Khalifa. I'll roast on myself. So I thought she would DM me. She never did.
You think she doesn't like Arab guys?
No, I'm sure she does.
I bet she likes the BBCs.
All right, so I want to will something right now. I got a bunch of artists coming.
Right.
A bunch. I still want to ask you your fucking roster.
Mm.
You run the Lils.
Yes.
The SoundClouds. The guys running who are on the XX, the XXL cover right now.
Mm-hmm.
Who you going to bring?
Well, I'm definitely bringing Hella Sketchy and Suave, who you just met the other day. But I think I'm going to see if Lil Pump's. No, he's in Europe.
He's with Cole, because I got in contact with Eve. Ibrahim, King of Queens, Cole's manager, tweeted me back.
Great guy. And also, I listened to a whole podcast with him on It's the Real, and that was fantastic. It was great to hear about Cole's career from somebody's perspective besides his.
Yeah. Who are you saying you're getting?
I'm also going to contact, I got this guy Chapo, and I think that he would be a great addition. He's supposedly locked up for the next couple days. Who else am I going to bring?
I have one of yours coming.
I believe that to be the case, yeah.
You know who it was,
I think I know who you're talking about, yeah. I love that idea.
What's the Wi-Fi password here?
I don't know if I want to say on stream.
Oh, okay. Nobody caught that. Okay. Anyways.
What's the Wi-Fi password?
You'll get it after. Okay. But let me say this. Let's will it. We're wasting time. I got to go back to
the set. Oh, wait. Now I know who it is. Now I know. Yeah. Okay.
Should I just say it?
Yeah, sure.
Damn. You know what's scary to announce your dreams to the world? J. Cole taught me, if they don't know your dreams and they can shoot them down. But I'm like, I like announcing my dreams, Cole. I like telling the world. Mm. They can't shoot them down.
They try.
They can't. And that's what I've been hyping my team up so much. And they've been giving me nothing but love. And I've told them. I was like, even if everybody turned against us right now, they can't stop this. This is bigger than that.
You know, I was wondering this, though. When I used to watch your vlogs and you would be playing like 7 minutes of J. Cole in the middle of a vlog, did you have like an arrangement with the label that they let you do that? No, you were just like, here, Cole, take all
tattoo,
my ad revenue.
My first tattoo that I got removed said Dollar in a Dream.
Okay.
My dog's named Dollar because Dollar in a Dream.
That's beautiful, actually.
Yeah,
I
love Cole. I love Cole.
That's fire. Have you ever actually talked to him?
I did. I won contests to meet him backstage. I got people in the Bay Area wanted to beat my ass. They showed up to the concert to beat my ass because I joined. It was a 30-day concert. I joined the day before. I won. Radio station calls me and goes, it was the most stressful day of my life. Radio station calls me and goes, people believe that you hacked it because you're unable to get that many votes. I was like, all right, then. Went to my Twitter. This is their phone number. This is what they're trying to do. Literally 3 minutes later, they call me back. Congratulations. Sorry, our mistake. You win. So I show up to the concert. And I'm not going to lie, I used to drink back then. So I walked up to the line, I'm tipsy about to meet Cole. And then all of a sudden these girls, hey, fuck you, Fosse. We were da-da-da-da. You a bitch. You have money. You could have bought that. You should have let somebody else win. In my head, I'm like, bro, I love this dude. I'm going to meet my mentor, my idol. And I got a legendary picture with him. He didn't talk. He listened to me for 10 minutes straight, just telling him how much I love him.
Yeah.
So here's what I want to declare. And we got to go after this. What time is it?
3:56.
This has been a fun ass time. Okay, perfect. This would be perfect. This is going to be amazing. Los Angeles, the world, actually. Are you fucking ready for this? I've got so many artists coming. And once We now have the flyer. Artists are gonna ask to come. This is gonna get fucking massive. So artists around the world, French, already tried to reach out to you. Game, thank you for replying to my DM. Snoop, I sent you a DM, need you to check that. I needed somebody from YouTube. Queen, Nyjah, and Clarence. If I mispronounce your name, I'm sorry, Queen. But everybody loves you, and they've been asking for you on this stage that day. I DM'd your management. The city has to come together. That night, we are gonna dispel hate and change the frequency of life to love. We are gonna be, I'm declaring it right fucking now. YouTube's gonna stream this event. It's gonna be on the front page. It's gonna have over 1 million concurrent viewers. TMZ's gonna be in the audience. You're gonna be in the audience. News channels are gonna be in the audience. 5,800 people sold out for free at the Greek Theater, okay? And right then and there, all of us celebrating together, we're sending a message to the world that from that day forward, we're choosing love and we're gonna kill this hate shit. It's 2018 and we still got people being killed because of the color of their skin. We're living wrong.
You said yesterday that this event is gonna end racism.
I
like that.
Because you have to. You have to have a dream that big. You have to have people commenting saying, he's on drugs, he's crazy. Why are we gonna sit and wait for somebody else to do it? Why is there only one Kanye West? Why isn't there 20 Kanye West? Why aren't all of us Kanye West? I say that to say there are a couple of people I need to come to this event. I know some of them personally. I've already been talking, reached out, and I'm sure you're gonna agree after this. DJ Khaled, as your Palestinian brother, your Arab brother, I need you to DJ this event. I got all your brothers coming from New York. All of them. Hit them up. They're coming. I got your brothers coming from LA. They're coming. We need you. Okay? We need you. Drake, I heard you're in LA this weekend. You just dropped the summer's anthem. We need you. For the people. Do this for the people. Meek Mill, we need you.
He's in jail.
Huh?
I'm just saying.
Dead ass again?
Yeah, they never let him out.
What you mean? Yeah, they did.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
I just heard they rejected his fucking plea thing. No, you're right. They did let him out.
You're the judge. You scared the shit out of me. I would have cried. Wait, I'm not done. I'm not done.
Sorry, I'm
not
high. I'm high.
I'm not done. I'm not done. So Drake,
expert on this.
You dropped the summer anthems, bruh. Take that energy you did with Kiki. Do you love me? And give it to the people and let's change the frequency, bruh. You're the GOAT. You're the representative. Show the youth, show the new generation something, bruh. I did this in 5 days with my money. I ain't got money to spend like that, Drake. Deadass, I don't. I spend a lot. But what I'm saying is we need
just coming
you, bruh.
Clean real quick.
I'm not even done.
Okay.
Will Smith, we need you. Jaden Smith. We need you on stage to perform Icon. It's energy, bruh. July 15th is the World Cup day. The world is literally all in the same frequency. And now we're gonna have all the biggest artists in the world in one arena and everybody in the world watching, and we're spreading positivity and love and a positive message. There's one more person I need to come, and I need every single person to help make this happen.
Can't wait, who?
We're doing this in LA. We're doing this on World Cup Day. We're doing this to change the world. I have a line in my song, the king is back, I look around, it's not the same, because we're all kings. But there's one king the city of LA needs right now, and that's LeBron James. LeBron James, I need you to get on that stage. July, like literally, look, bruh, I was literally in Australia a couple of days ago, and now I'm here giving messages to LeBron James. I would look like an idiot if I didn't believe that he's gonna be watching this.
He's
That's the energy
watching.
We gotta be on. LeBron James, you need to come July 15th. The city loves you. Put on the crown, get on that stage, and let's change the frequency. Fuck hate, spread love, hate dies, love arrives, July 15th, a free concert for the city and the world. I love you guys, I gotta go finish this. Bro, we just changed the world, let's go.
Much love, bro. See you July 15th.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity, this voice, this energy, bro.
My pleasure.
Thanks for dispelling the hate you had against me. Thanks for trusting me. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for joining in on this movement.
So much love.
I fucking love you.
Thank you. I love you too, man.
People will say shit then.
That would be kind of weird, so, yeah. My forehead's a little sweaty. You might, why not, yeah.
You were supposed to kiss me back, but for sure, G, I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I got to work on my Arab card.
Oh, wait, before I leave, because I already look like a crazy again? Person. I might as well end it like this. One thing. They'll understand, because this is going to be the biggest song in the world after Sunday.
I can vouch for that.
He's heard it. It's going to be on every single radio station. It's going to be the biggest club banger, literally, in the world. In the world. I didn't say in the country. The king is back. I look around. It's not the same. They love you first, they diss you next, that's just the game. What rapper lives with his ghostwriter, man, that's a lame.
That's a lame.
A character with no character, man, that's a shame.
Y'all ain't ready. Fuster 2 about to change the game, coming in hot. Chris, yeah. Can you take a picture of him real quick before he dips? I'm gonna stay on live stream for a minute.
I need to speak with you real quick.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I guess we're gonna end the live stream. Watch out. It's still on. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're just gonna keep this file live. We're just gonna have to make a thumbnail real quick and just leave this as a stream. Please, if you're a fan of the No Jumper live streams, make sure you stick around for the rest of the day because we are going to be doing a YM Bape interview later today. And we're going to be playing all your songs and stuff if anybody has done any donations during this. So thank you very much to everybody who watched this. Please head on over to nojumper.com and cop some of these beautiful new shirts that we got. Much love. Peace.